on 9/11, when the Pentagon was attacked, I was in the building, and there's an awful lot of praying going on.
Welcome to Connections with Rich and Bobby. Hi, this is Rich, Rich Homeris.
And I'm Bobby, Bobby Hamlin.
On September 11th, 2001, 20 years ago, the United States was senselessly attacked by terrorists. Thousands perished in the World Trade Center, in the Pentagon, and in a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. The victims were not only Americans, but also citizens of over 50 countries. In today's interview, we're visiting with James O'Brien, who served as the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense at the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., when it was attacked 20 years ago. He shares his firsthand account of being there during that tragic day.
Why don't you give us a little background? You say you were born in New York?
Right, Schenectady, New York, and went to college at the King's College. We moved to Maryland in 1965, and I served in the Army there at Aberdeen Proving Ground. Mm-hmm. And we've lived in Maryland ever since.
Uh-huh, okay. So, now, at what point in your life did the Lord enter, and what point did he draw you to himself?
Bobby, I'm thankful I was raised in a Christian home. You know, I give my testimony to various places, and I often start my testimony off this way. I was, in my life, I was involved in crime and terrible violence and sin, and then God rescued me at the age of six.
All that before six.
Yes, huh? Well, but the point is, I was raised in a Christian home,
yes.
And Mom and Dad were very solid Christians. They lived their lives in front of my sister and myself. And one night, very late, I couldn't get to sleep, and went downstairs, woke up my dad, and next to his bed and my mom's bed there, Dad opened the scriptures to me and mm-hmm. turned to a number of verses. The one I particularly remember was Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, which says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, mm-hmm. it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And it's been a long journey.
Mm. Yeah. What a wonderful, wonderful yeah. testimony.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show you that, you know, the children are never too young to hear it and to be exposed to that.
Right.
So now we see on your card that you are involved in national defense and security. How did all that happen, or when did that enter into your life?
Well, I was working in New York City, really feeling good about myself, and felt I was quite successful. And all of a sudden, I got a letter in the mail that said, "Greetings from the President of the United States." And that was the nicest part of the letter. And then it said, "You're hereby ordered to report for active duty in the United States Army." This was in early Vietnam days. Mm-hmm. And right after basic training, just a week or two before the platoon was supposed to ship to Vietnam, there was a public address system announcement over the area where we were training. "Private O'Brien, please come to the day room for a message." And I thought, oh, what have I done now? And I walked over there, ran over there, and I got in there, and they said, "Private, we have orders to ship you to Aberdeen Proving Ground to work as a mathematician in the research laboratories there because you have a degree, and we need somebody to compute artillery tables for Vietnam." So I said, "Yes, Lord, thank you." So that's how I got into the business of defense. And from there, it went to other things. I worked in the ballistic research laboratories for about 15 years, approximately a little more than that, and got a couple graduate degrees along the way. And then in 86, I moved to the Pentagon. I took a position there that was created by Congress.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Wow, so you've had quite a journey just even up to that point.
Right, right. It's been a journey. Right.
Yes. Well, it's quite a responsibility when you think about taking care of, well, first of all, ourselves, but then when you have a wife or when you have children, but then when you get into national security, that's almost beyond comprehension, the weight that must carry. Did you feel that responsibility of being overseeing our nation's security?
Well, I know the day I arrived down there, it was overwhelming because, you know, my job title changed from mathematician engineer to assistant deputy undersecretary of defense.
Mm.
In one day, I had responsibility for about $600 billion worth of weapons that were being developed. So it was a major responsibility.
Oh, is that right? So. Well, you've seen a lot of very scary situations that have happened. I mean, much more than the public is even aware of, I'm sure. And I'm sure that at times you can even feel quite defenseless, you know,
right.
as we're just one person. And so how do you handle all that responsibility?
Well, I don't know how people that don't know the Lord handle it. If you came to my office and you walk in the door, I had a sign, and the sign said, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And there's another verse that I had as my verse in the Pentagon, and that was this: "The Lord is my defense." That's in the book of Psalms. Mm-hmm. You know, we can trust arms, and we need to have arms. There's nothing unscriptural about being able to defend yourself. But our ultimate defense comes from the Lord. And so what I did was go to Bible studies. The Pentagon has, I suppose, about 20 or so Bible studies active. I attended one that was for what we call senior executives, which I was. And then there are other Bible studies for flag officers, admirals, and generals, which is the equivalent to the senior executives on the military side. And there were other Bible studies that were held in noontime or early in the morning or midday, sometimes once a month, sometimes every 2 weeks, sometimes once a week. So that's what really kept me going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wonderful. Now, what other evidence did you see of leaning upon the Lord, maybe by other leaders or other people, your peers that you were working with there?
Well, there were a couple of folks, I won't certainly mention their names on the air here, but there were a couple of folks that, you know, we shared encouragement once in a while. We'd go out to lunch together. Obviously, on the job, you know, you can't spend time preaching and doing evangelism, but you can live your life 24 hours a day. Right. So hopefully, you know, we could testify to one another just by the way we behaved. And, of course, I did take opportunities to share with people when they had problems. I'd call them into the office and say, "Listen, let me take a few minutes of sort of my own leave time here, if you're interested, to share with you, you know, maybe a solution to the issue that you're facing."
We're visiting with James O'Brien, who served as the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense at the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., when it was attacked 20 years ago. And we'll continue hearing from him in just a moment, so stay with us.
You're listening to Connections with Rich and Bobby, and we'd love to connect with you. Just go to our website at Connections with Rich and Bobby. That's all one word, and Bobby is spelled BOBBI.com. That's Connections with Rich and Bobby.com. And there you'll find all of our podcasts posted, along with all of our contact information.
Also, you can connect with us on social media by friending us on Facebook, post on Instagram, tweet us on Twitter, or listen to our program on Pandora. Now, let's return to our visit with James O'Brien and hear about the situation in the Pentagon when it was attacked.
You know, we have separation of church and state, quote unquote, and that's, we hear that phrase all the time. But also we hear that the way it's interpreted now is kind of the opposite of the way that it was intended when it originally was put forth. And so I wonder if you feel, working there, right in the seat of the government, if you actually almost feel like you have less religious freedom than when you're a citizen.
Let me talk to the point this way. There were chaplains in the United States military before the Constitution was ever written. So for people to say that there's a constitutionally guaranteed separation of church and state is absolute foolishness. There's a constitutionally guaranteed part of the Constitution that says that the government will do nothing to abridge my ability to worship. But it also says that the government will not set up a church state. But what's happened has been sort of turned inside out. But let me say this, that on 9/11, when the Pentagon was attacked, I was in the building, and there's an awful lot of praying going on. And I didn't see one person arrested or one person reprimanded for praying. And in fact, the attack was on Tuesday morning at about 9:45 or so. And on Friday, 3 days later, I was asked to lead in prayer at the memorial service in the Pentagon, in the biggest auditorium we have in the Pentagon, up on the fifth floor. So I spent the next half hour or so before I had to go up there to prepare my heart. And I said, what do I say? These people have lost, you know, there's over 100 people that have been lost in the Pentagon and many others injured. We forget about the injured. You know, what do I say? And I says, Lord, just give me the words to say. And so I went up there, and the first thing I asked was, how many of you here? And there must have been, I suppose, 500 or 600 people in the auditorium. It was packed, and we had standing room only. We also had people out in the hallways watching monitors. I said, how many of you have lost a loved one, somebody that you knew, a coworker? And nearly half the hands went up. You know, these people were loved. They were respected, and now they're gone. So then I said, I'm so thankful this morning that there's no one up here has said that we have a separation of church and state here this morning. The place broke into applause.
Oh.
And then I went on to say, I know our hearts are filled with anger over what's happened. I know we feel fear. But I said, our prayer this morning, Lord, is that we should not take vengeance against those who have done this, because vengeance is yours, and you do it your way. Our job is to do what is necessary to help those in need, to defend our nation, and to make sure that we look to the Lord for wisdom. So it was quite a special day.
Boy, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Now, the burden must have been so great because not only was there personal loss, but you're weighing that against also probably being very concerned about the security of our nation. And how did this happen? What was the balance of those two? Did people go mostly to personal loss, or was there a mobilization of, how are we going to protect our nation and how did this happen?
I think that everybody did a tremendous job of rallying. I never saw so much cooperation between the military services in my life, and even among the civilians in the Pentagon that I've never seen before in the 15 years I was there. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you want to know how to respond to these kinds of things, you need to call on the Lord first and not as a last resort if everything else doesn't work. You start there. You don't end there.
Mm-hmm. But it must have been very gratifying, too, to see everyone having their eyes or turning their eyes to the Lord and trying to see the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm. I agree. That's true. And there were people that, the Bible studies increased in numbers after that. More people came. So the Lord has unusual ways of getting our attention, and I don't mean to be glib, but, sometimes these kinds of events cause us to turn to Him. You know, someone has said one time, the only time that we end up looking at the Lord is when He's got us flat on our backs. We're looking straight up then. So I don't think we want to ask why, but we need to ask what do you want us to do as a result of this?
Right. That's wonderful. Yeah. And we also hear, too, about how the whole nation actually looked towards God and started just getting into their Bibles. But then the fear was that it wouldn't last because it was only because of the tragedies. And yet, if one stays, that's all up to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I do think, sense there's a certain, what I call in the physics terms, hysteresis, there's a certain leftover effect that's still here. I think it's dying out, but I still sense a certain renewal that we did not have before. So I don't think we've gone back to pre-9/11. I don't think we'll ever get back there again. The idea that we can just simply go about our lives and not worry about someone doing something terrible, I think, is over.
Well, that's a tragedy, but also in our weakness is God's strength, and that's what we hope is that, that people do start looking towards the bigger picture instead of just going about their lives. Ignorance is bliss and not caring about eternity.
Right, exactly.
Well, 20 years has passed since those tragic events. And as we look around us today, do we see a lot of change with people having a deep concern about where they'll spend eternity? May it be that many would heed Jesus' words in John 5, verse 24 that says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." And we thank James O'Brien for sharing with us about his experiences on 9/11 at the Pentagon 20 years ago.
You're listening to Connections with Rich and Bobby, and we'd love to have you subscribe to our podcast on this platform or on any of the others, like Spotify, iTunes, or Google Play. It's all free.
Also, if you've missed a program or would like to hear the current one once again, or invite others to listen, just go to our website at Connections with Rich and Bobby, all one word and Bobby spelt with an I, .com. That's Connections with Rich and Bobby, .com. Also, all of our contact information is there as well.
And if you have a smart speaker, you can also listen to us there. Just say, "Alexa, Siri, or Hey Google, play the current episode of the podcast Connections with Rich and Bobby." Also, you can listen to our podcast on Pandora.
Then finally, you can connect with us on social media on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. This is Connections, connecting with one another, as Romans 1 verse 12 says, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. So thank you for listening, and remember, tell others and spread the word, God's word.
And don't forget to join us next time on Connections with Rich and Bobby.